Amen. Thank you so much for standing for so long. You may be seated. Jonah is one of the most attacked books in the Bible, particularly by modernists and rationalists. They doubt and attack the historical accuracy of Jonah. By the way, 2 Kings refers to Jonah, the prophet, the prophecy that he had prophesied. They look with scorn upon the fact that a literal great fish, a whale, a creature of the deep could swallow Jonah, and that he could live for 3 literal days and 3 literal nights in the belly. And I just want to say this, ladies and gentlemen. I will gladly take the Word of God and the actual words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who... In nine verses, 7 times mentioned Jonas and mentioned that he was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights. I'll gladly take the Word of God and the words of Jesus Christ over some egg-headed theologian who has more degrees than a thermometer and who thinks that that gives him the right to take out his penknife and cut up the Word of God. I'll take the Word of God every time. Amen. Every time, amen. I thank God for the book of Jonah. As I said, Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless Son of God, referenced Jonah by name in Matthew 12:39, 12:40, 12:41, 16:4, Luke 11:29 and 30 and 32. Jonah was a real person, he was a real preacher, and he was a real prophet. In these 3 messages, again, we're just going to skim the surface. It's really all we can do in just 3 messages. But we're going to talk tonight about the prodigal prophet. Next week, we're going to talk about the prepared prophet. And 2 weeks after that, after we have our gospel sing, we're going to talk about the privileged prophet. We know very little of Jonah's background. We know, according to this text and also the text in 2 Kings 14:25, that he was the son of Amittai. 2 Kings 14:25 tells us that he was from a place called Gath-Hephrathath in Zebulun. And that was in Lower Galilee, about 3 miles from Nazareth. He prophesied to Israel, the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes. And most likely during the reign of Jeroboam II, who reigned in Israel from 793 BC to 753 BC. Let's get right into it if we could in chapter 1. Look, number 1, at the directions. The verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying..." You know, I see there, Brother Case, I see a personal call. I see a personal call that God says to Jonah, "I'm bringing my word to you. I want you to listen to my word. You personally, not just everybody, but you personally." Remember when God called Samuel? And remember how confused Eli was about all of it? And God personally called Samuel. Can I say this, church? God's given us each a call as well. It's in the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. Don't go there. I'll read it to you. It says this, verse number 1 says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth at the top of the high places, by the way of the places of path. She crieth at the gates and at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, do I call. And my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom." God called unto Jonah. It was a personal call. You know what else it was? According to the text there in verse number 2, it was a pointed command. Not only a personal call, but there was a pointed command. He said, "Arise and go to Nineveh." Can I say, ladies and gentlemen, God has given us many commands, but there's one pointed one that He's given us in particular. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You say, "Well, that was for the disciples." Actually, He said "ye" on purpose. "Go ye." And that applies to every one of us. It was a personal call. It was appointed command. You know what else I see here? I see pure compassion. He says, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. You say, what do you mean pure compassion? We'll talk about it in just a little bit. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9 that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. The Word of God reveals the will of God to the child of God. If you don't get anything else tonight, I hope and pray you'll get that. The Word of God reveals the will of God to the child of God. And so we have here the directions. Secondly, we have the disobedience, don't we? In verse number 3, it says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. God said, I want you to go to Nineveh. And he rose up to flee to Tarshish. Ladies and gentlemen, this wasn't saying, I want you to go to Jackson and somebody going to Brooklyn. No. This was saying, I want you to go to New York City. And Jonah said, I'm going to Los Angeles. I see perhaps a couple potential causes. First of all, it could have been the difficulty. That certainly is a cause of why Jonah would go astray here. Perhaps it was not only the difficulty, perhaps it was the demand about the preaching to those Ninevites. But I think personally, and again, this is just a personal view on this, I think it was the deeds of the Assyrians. He said, I want you to go to Nineveh where the Assyrians are. Let me just read you quickly about the Assyrians. The Assyrian Empire, it was the Assyrian Empire that the kingdom of Israel, through the kingdom of Israel, was destroyed. In recent years, annals of Assyrian kings have been found in which they themselves had their own exploits recorded. Assyrian policy was to deport conquered peoples to other lands, to destroy their sense of nationalism, and to make them more easily subject. Assyrians were great warriors. Most nations were robber nations. Assyrians seemed to have been about the worst of them all. They builded their state on the loot of other people. Now listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. They practiced cruelty. They skinned their prisoners alive. They cut off their hands, feet, noses, ears, put out their eyes, and pulled out their tongues, and made mounds of human skulls, all to inspire terror. So the next time you read, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, don't be so tough on Jonah.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, I didn't know a lot of people, Brother Steve, that were heading over to ISIS with a Bible in their hand.
No.
Though they need it.
Yeah.
We see the disobedience, the potential causes. We see the prescribed course. It happens every time, ladies and gentlemen. If you read verse 3, it says, he rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord and went where? Down. Down to Joppa, and he found a ship that was going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down. And you know, disobedience is always a downward path.
Yeah.
Always. But you know what else it is? It's not only a downward path, but it's also a backward path. The reason, when we think about the potential causes, we see Jonah was just flat out backslidden, ladies and gentlemen. He was backslidden. Whenever you disobey the Lord and try to justify it, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been a member of a church. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how much you give. When you don't do what God said, it's because of one reason. You're backslidden. And I'm backslidden when I disobey the Lord. So the potential causes, the prescribed course. You know what Jonah really said here? He said, I'd rather disobey God than see a multitude of people saved. Have you thought about that? Thought about that. You know, we see the predictable consequences, don't we? In verse 4. Hallelujah, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Ladies and gentlemen, when you are in the pattern of disobedience, I will tell you this. God may send a mighty tempest in the sea, but there's always a mighty tempest in your soul. We see the directions. We see the disobedience. Thirdly, I like this. We see the disturbance. You know, first person we see to be disturbed is God Himself. A sovereign God is disturbed. The sovereign is disturbed. It said, but the Lord sent out a great wind to the sea. Ladies and gentlemen, may we never forget that our sin and our backsliding bothers God. It may not bother us, but it bothers God. He's disturbed. God is disturbed. The sovereign is disturbed. You know what else we see? We see the sea disturbed, don't we? There was a mighty tempest in the sea. You know what else I see? I see the ship was disturbed in verse 4, so that the ship was likely to be broken. Verse 5 says, then the mariners were afraid. You know what else? The sailors were disturbed, weren't they? Yeah. They were scared. And listen, sailors don't get too scared too often. They've seen a lot. The sailors were disturbed. You see, and boy, I just don't have time to preach this like I'd like to. You see their peril. You see their panic. And you see their prayer. That's how disturbed these unsaved mariners were. They went to prayer. The shipmaster was disturbed. Verse 6 says, the shipmaster came unto him. Lastly, the sleeping preacher was disturbed, wasn't he? The shipmaster came to him and said, don't you know what's going on? We're going to call upon your God here. We see the desperation, not only the disturbance and the disobedience and the direction. Look at the desperation in verse 6 and 7. So the shipmaster came to him and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. They got to the end and said, we got to figure out what's going on here. They were so desperate that they went to casting lots, and the lot fell to Jonah, which brings us to the detection. The detection in verse 7. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Verses 8 through 10, we have a dialogue. It says there, and they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, which hath made the sea and dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? You know, I think of that phrase, why hast thou done this? I think one day, when we stand at the great white throne judgment, and listen, you're not going to stand there to be judged. Right. But you'll be there. You know why? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Yeah. The Lord will be there. And I wonder, Brother Merrill, if lost people will look at us and say, why hast thou done this? You know, you worked next to me for 25 years. You never told me. You lived next to me for 15 years and we watched our kids grow up together in the same school, and you never invited me to Friend Day. You never gave me a gospel track. Why hast thou done this? Hey, if you're in a backslidden condition, why hast thou done this? You know, it's amazing that the lost world has to shame a Christian. But sometimes it's exactly what we need to wake us up and cause us, as we said this morning, to take spiritual inventory. Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them, Jonah told them exactly what God wanted him to do and exactly what he did. And they said, why would you do that? Your God's the one you said that made heaven and earth and made the sea and dry land. Why on earth would you not obey him? Amen. We see there the dialogue. We see number 7. The directions, the disobedience, the disturbance, the desperation, the detection, the dialogue. We see the decision in verse 11. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Well, you think about that, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you what. I've had some minor, in my life, minor heartache, minor tragedy. Some people I know have gone through so much worse. But Brother Case, I hope that if tragedy were to come my way, that I wouldn't have to look at my beautiful bride and say, I know that for my sake, this has come upon us. It's because I wouldn't do what God said. You say, does that happen? It sure does. Most people don't have the courage that Jonah had to admit it. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken than the fat of rams. What was the decision? Well, the decision there, verse 13, nevertheless the men rowed hard to bring them unto land that they could not, and the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, that let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not upon us this innocent blood. They said, this is your man. This is your prophet. We don't want to be guilty of his death. He's the one that told us to throw him into the sea. O Lord, thou hast done as it hath pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And then you know what you see? Lastly, we see a divine calm. As soon as the backslider got out of the boat, the sea calmed down. The sea calmed down. Well, I'll tell you what, in a church, as soon as the backslider gets out of the boat and gets to the altar, it's amazing how much calm, peace, joy that you can have in the church. Say, how do you know? Because I've been that backslider before. I've been that person with a rotten attitude. You say, when, Pastor? None of your business. This morning, bless God. No. No, there have been times in my Christian life where I wasn't what I ought to be for God. I tell you, when I came down to the old-fashioned altar, it's amazing how the joy returned. And there was peace and calm. Let me give you 4 or 5 takeaways tonight. We'll be done. We'll have some watermelon. Hallelujah. First of all, the first takeaway from this text is the commands of God are non-negotiable. Right. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. The commands of God are non-negotiable. God does not bargain with you. God disciplines you for your disobedience. But don't think that you can disobey the commands of God on a consistent basis and think, well, God understands. No, He doesn't. They're non-negotiable. Number 2. You know what I see here? I see the compassion of God for all people. The Assyrians were as wicked as anybody we've ever seen. And God wanted these Gentiles, these wicked, heartless Gentiles, saved. I'll tell you what, our God is full of compassion. And He's not just compassionate for us, And he's not just compassionate for white Christianity or black Christianity or brown Christianity or plaid Christianity, amen. He is compassionate for all people. For God so loved the world. And he's the propitiation for our sins, 1 John 2:2 says. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. See here, the commands of God are not negotiable. The compassion of God for all people. I love this point. The chastening of God is limitless in scope. Say, what does that mean? Well, whom the Father loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You see, when my children are rotten, which is often, they take after their father. Because they're mine, I correct them.
Yeah.
Well, we need more preaching like that. I'll tell you this right now.
Yes,
we need more parents that are going to correct children and not dialogue with them.
Yes,
now, sweetheart, you know, we're not supposed to use magic markers on the wall. Here's a coloring book right here. No, get your hind end in the back bedroom and I will tell you about what we think about markers on the wall. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the chastening of God for you and I is limitless in scope. You know why? He is all powerful.
Yeah.
That means he can use every resource at his disposal to chasten you and I. In this case, he used a sea. He used a whale. He can use anything. Amen. He could use a, you name it. He could use a spider. We got this spider outside. Normally, I'm a spider killer. Here's my law of spiders is if they're inside the house, they're dead. I don't care if I have to get a flamethrower and burn the whole house down. Amen. They're dead. We got this big spider outside. I mean, he's big. He's eating good, too. Hallelujah. I like it. But you know, one little spider bite God could use to chasten you for your mess, for your backsliding, for your disobedience, and mine, too. God could use an ocean if he wanted to. God could use the sun. God, you name it. God could use the finger of God in a tornado. God can use anything he wants to get our attention. I thank God. I mean to meet tonight. The deacons that are here, we need to meet. There's a church down in Louisiana that we want to help with some of our deacon fund money. And of course, they were flooded out. And the preacher got in a boat and began rescuing people when the flooding happened. And one of the men said, you know, I believe God has been speaking to me. And he literally caused me to lose everything so I'd look to him. That's the chastening of our God. The chastening of God is limitless in scope. Number four. I love this. The commitment. We see the commands of God are non-negotiable. The compassion of God is for all people. The chastening of God is limitless in scope. Number four, the commitment of God to reach people. God wanted Nineveh reached. God had a disobedient prophet. So God showed his commitment to get Nineveh reached. He just kept chastening Noah and chastening, or Jonah rather. He just kept chastening Jonah and chastening Jonah and chastening. Why? Because he was committed to reach Nineveh.
Yeah.
Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to. I love what Joseph said to his brothers. He said, as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good.
Yeah.
You know, here's Jonah and he is getting chastened. He is getting chastened. And we'll talk about that in our next message. But what was it? It was the commitment of God to reach people. And then lastly tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to see this and we'll be done. The commands of God are non-negotiable. The compassion of God for all people. The commitment of God to reach people. The choice of God's man. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. You and I, God's people, have a choice whether to obey
or disobey.
Or disobey.
Yeah.
To obey or to disobey? Parents, I hope you teach your children to obey. Part of the mess that we're in society right now is we have people that have never learned to obey, so why should they obey a police officer?
Right.
They've never learned it.
Right.
And we have people all around us encouraging that kind of lawlessness. That's foolishness is what it is.
Amen.
Listen to me. Jonah had the choice to obey or disobey. And at first, he disobeyed. And then because of that choice, there were consequences built in to the disobedience. You know what those consequences were designed to bring out? Obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you got a disobedient child. Hallelujah for consequences. I'm going to write consequences right across there. Amen. You know what this is designed? Listen, it's not designed for punishment. It's designed for correction.
Yeah.
That next time the temptation comes to disobey, they would say, no, obedience is better. Obedience is less painful.
Yeah.
It is.
Yep.
It sure was for Jonah. Amen?
Amen?
It sure was for Jonah. I don't know tonight where you're at with God. Some of you maybe you feel, boy, I'm right with God. I'm right where I ought to be. Amen to that. Praise God. But maybe there's some that are disobedient in a particular area of life. And I'll tell you, when we rationalize it, when we justify it, it's proof positive that it's disobedience. You say, why? Because we have to rationalize it. We have to say, well, I know the Word of God says this, but no, stop being a billy goat Christian. Stop butting. My dad used to say, it was a classic when I was a young person, and he'd say, did I tell you to do this? Yes. What'd you do? I did this. I used to say, yeah, but. My dad used to say, yeah, but, yeah, but. Yeah, but, yeah, but. Hey, you know what, Christians? Yeah, but, yeah, but. God told us exactly what He wants done. Yeah, but, yeah, but. Yeah, but, yeah, but it's not going to cut it at the judgment seat of Christ. And it doesn't cut it now. It doesn't cut it now. Listen, maybe there's this area that you've been wrestling with. And please don't get mad at the preacher. You want to get mad at me, that's fine. That's your business. But I am preaching the Word of God straight and true. And if you don't like it, take it up with the one who wrote it. I didn't write it, I just recite it. Listen, we have here a prodigal prophet. But not for long. Only 10 more verses and we're going to go from a prodigal prophet to a prepared prophet. And I mean that like you would prepare a piece of meat. God is about to tenderize our dear brother in the belly of the fish. Hey, let's make sure in our life it doesn't take the belly of a fish. Let's make sure in our life it doesn't take some tragedy. And we say, oh, I know why this is happening. Jonah, the prodigal prophet. Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, it cuts like a sword. And Lord, it smashes like a hammer. It pierces even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Lord, I know so many times when I have not been right with you. When I have made choices that were contrary to your word. Oh Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Perhaps there would be one here tonight that is just a little further away from you than they once were. Oh God, I pray that you'd arrest their attention, convict them, and Lord, may they come, and Lord, throw that backsliding overboard and experience the calm peace of God. Lord, you said, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Lord, I pray you'd bless now in our invitation time. May not one grieve, quench, or resist what the Holy Ghost is trying to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Our